Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
I'm an atheist. I don't need any religion to help me. Those were the words of a young pilot as he brushed off the chaplain's invitation to attend chapel. The chaplain, however, held more than a half a dozen degrees, including several from Oxford. Not to be turned aside so easily, J. Edwin Orr asked, "Could I ask you a couple of questions?" Thinking this would be easy, the pilot said, "Sure, go ahead." First asked Orr, "Do you happen to know everything?" "Of course not." Trying to impress the chaplain, he explained that even Einstein said that all scientists were on the fringe of knowledge as a whole, and he humbly added, "I'll admit I'm on the fringe of the fringe." "Good," added Orr, knowing that he had won the first round. Now the second question is this: is it conceivable that God could exist outside of all that you happen to know? The pilot hesitated. Orr continued, "How much do you know in relationship to total knowledge? 10%? 10%, exclaimed the pilot. "Less than 1%. "Well," said Orr, "let's say just 1%. Is it possible that God could exist outside of your 1% of knowledge?" "Yes," acknowledged the pilot, somewhat hesitantly. Then said Orr, who himself had debated some of the world's outstanding agnostics and atheists, "You're a most remarkable atheist. A few minutes ago, you stated there was no God, and now you say it is possible there is one." J. Edwin Orr wasn't interested in simply winning an argument. He wanted to make a point. Only those who possess a knowledge of all the truth in the world could be absolutely certain that God does not exist. No one has that knowledge. Is atheism growing today? Studies indicate that it is not. In fact, the number of youth today who believe in God, at least in a generic sort of way, is greater than a generation ago. To believe in God is one thing. To have a relationship with Him is an entirely another matter. But to say one cannot know God not only denies the testimony of millions of people, but refutes the truth of the Incarnation, as God took upon Him the weakness of humanity and was born at Bethlehem. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father," said Jesus to a skeptical Thomas. The prologue of John's Gospel uses a term of Christ saying that He is the icon, to use the Greek word, or the express image of the Father. You can win a battle, but lose the war. But understanding that there is a void, an emptiness in the heart of almost every person that can never fully be met apart from that belief in God, helps you realize that your friend may be far more impressed with your personal life than he is by your persuasion. Question: what has God done in your life that would make someone else want to buy into your faith? Perhaps that is the greatest question and issue. Robert Ingersoll, one of the most vocal atheists of the 19th century, had a Christian aunt who lived the life before him. In the preface to one of his books, he commented that if all Christians had lived like she did, this book would never have been written. But God should never be judged by the lives of those who embrace His existence. Rather, let God be judged on His own merit. Yes, let God be God, but find out who He really is.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.